Okay, in Kuf Chaf, the last thing we did was Sivav. And I'd like to just add one point that I wasn't able to discuss last time because our time ran out. Last week, we learned the two major machlokes in Sifhei and Sivav. Sifhei was a discussion of a keli that touches a food when it's not edible, like a shechita knife, or the metal with which holes are made in the matzah. And Lamaisa, the Mechaber said it doesn't need tefillah, and the Ramah brought chalkim, but only because it's roi to use for food. A sakin shel shechita is roi to use for food. So basically, something that touches food when it's not edible is not chayiv in tefillah. In Sivav, we learned the Machlekes Mechaber Ramah about a maimid. We had the case here in the Shulchan Aruch in Sivav, a machlekes mechaber and shach, about a maimid. What's a maimid? Something that holds a wooden kli together. The wooden kli is potter, and the metal holds it in place. So the mechaber said it does not need tefillah, and the shach said that you should table it without a bracha. The question is if a maimid is mechayiv tefillah. The underlying rule is if it doesn't touch the food, it's not chayiv in tefillah, but if it's a maimid, then it is chayiv in tefillah. Now, a variation on this would be a case where you have a Teflon keli. Now, every Teflon pan is a metal pan with a coating, plastic coating, a synthetic coating of Teflon that separates the metal from the food. So the food does not touch the metal, but there's no question the metal is a maimed. It's the biggest maimed that there is, right? Because the Teflon really is just a thin coating.
After 3 weeks, it touches the metal.
Well, it would seem that you table a Teflon keli without a bracha, because according to the Mechaber, a maimed is not chayiv. And I had a case with someone whose Teflon was peeling. If you have a blintz in a Teflon keli, don't take a knife and cut the blintz in the Teflon keli, because the knife cuts the Teflon as well. So we had a very strange case. The Teflon was peeling. I told him, well, when it peels, you have to table it, because according to the Mechaber, it was potter. And now that the metal touches the food, it becomes chayiv. So he said to me, but it peels a little more every time. You got to keep on titling every time. I tell him, why don't you just peel off the whole thing and title it once, and you'll be in good shape. But that would seem to be the issue. I understand, but the makar according to some cipher. So Sefer says that Hagolas Kelim and Tfilas Kelim say in the same parasha. So just like Hagolas is only if the food touches the metal, here also only the food touches the metal. Now you may argue that even by the Teflon Keli, the metal becomes treif also, which we can argue the point, and maybe you're right. But certainly Masafik, at least you should table. Now I had an interesting shot. We learned last 2 weeks ago, because last Sunday was Shavuos. Erev Shavuos, I had a call from someone who sounded very desperate. He had Erev Shavuos, Erev Shabbos, Erev Shavuos. So he was supposed to table some kalim, and he forgot to table them, and his wife needed them to cook for Kufi Yamtiv. And they live in Brooklyn. They lived out in Long Island. There was no easy mikveh in the area. So first he asked me is if he could use it. He could use it once. I told him there's no head to use it once. So he said, you got to do something for me because my wife's going to be very upset. Now, I'll tell you what I, at the moment, what I told him, and now I'm not sure if I was right. It involved, some type of pan, maybe he's making things for Yantif, I told him, you're a Sfardi. The Sfardim can rely on the Mechaber. The Mechaber holds that a Maimed is Potter, that ain't I taught Tefillah. So why don't you take the pan, line it with aluminum foil, put a layer of aluminum foil, wrap it on well, and let her do whatever she has to do in the aluminum foil. Now, at the end of the story, if his wife was happy with it, I have no idea. But that was one idea. The other idea, of course, was to get a guy. And, you know, you're a Sfardi. Sfardim have guy in the house, usually, you have help. And there's someone in the shul who has a Sephardic friend, and he had to be in deal for Shabbos, for Matzah Shabbos. His friend said, you know, I'm going to be away, why don't you use my house in deal? So he went to the house in deal, and the maid was living there, she had her quarters, and they had the Suda Leil Shabbos, and afterwards they went, they sat down on the couch. So the Goita comes in with the remote, and she says, okay, which channel? I don't label all of them that way, but a very interesting experience. At any rate, is it Pasha that it goes through? Is it a Bliya to Bekli Lekli Belay Raitiv? Do we look at the Teflon as something separate? Yeah, when it's one metal, you consider one. If you would have two layers of metal, we wouldn't say the bliya goes. When we wrap a keli in aluminum foil, we say, and put it in the treif oven, we say the aluminum foil gets bliyas from the zeya of treif, but not the inside. So we do consider a separation. I'm not certain. If you're right, then you're right. I'm not sure if a blia, if the Teflon is a separate, it's like a layer of aluminum foil, or if it's somehow porous. I don't know, it's not porous. Well, the Torah of Maimed is that it's not touching the food. That's the din of Maimed. If it's touching the food, it's chayav anyway. That's what it seems to some cipher. If it would be a case where the bleas would go through, then you wouldn't have a Torah Maimed. Maimed is a Machayev. When you're Potter, otherwise Potter, the Maimed is a Machayev. That's halacha. So. It seems to be a problem because. I'm not certain, because if you hold that it's Potter, then the tefillah is not a tefillah. Then later it becomes chayiv when you peel it. All right. Okay, let's go to Sifches. Why the aluminum foil? Why isn't it bottled to the keli? By blias, I wouldn't say it's bottled. Right? When we wrap something in aluminum and put it in a trefa oven, in the airplane, wherever they put it, we don't say it's bottled to the keli, we say the blia. Yeah, but some sefer says that whatever would be chayiv in agala is chayiv in tefillah. It's the same parish, the same posse. Right? So if we go with such a mahalok, then we'll see. You should table teflon keli without a bracha. If it peels, I think you have to table it again, because according to the mechaber, it was potter beforehand. I may be wrong. Maybe teflon's different. If it keeps on peeling, it creates a problem. No, because before it peels, you can't tell what a brach and mechaber holds your potter, and afterwards you can, because the shach holder was chayiv. So you did two tefillahs, you don't know which one is the one that's chayiv. Alright, Sif Zayin, sort of the reverse, where the kais is shel kesef and it's mechaber b'kliyetz. The cup itself, the part that holds the food, is made out of metal, and it has some kliyates, which is supporting it. So the Mechaber Lashita says Sarach Tefila. Before he held, the Maimid doesn't count. It's Pata from Tefila. When the Pata touches the food is wood. And he had the reverse. When the pot touches the food is metal, even though there's another pot that gives it that supports it, Sarach Tefila, you have to tevel it. Now it seems as a machlekes Yeshach and Taz as to what the case exactly is in the Mechaber. So it seems to me the Shach, if you look at the Shach, Sivkatan Yud Gimel, he says, Mashmit Sarach Bracha. So we have to get a case. What's a case of a kli shel kesef umamida shaletz? A metal keli whose support has a stand of some sort, which is made out of wood. What, a knife with a wooden handle? Knife with a wooden handle. Maybe the blade can't be used by itself. And the wood, which is not made to touch the food, gives it form. The Yeshu Taivalai B'lai Bracha. That in the Beis Yosef, he says, without a bracha, Yeshlamin the Hasam, Ilava Eitloya Yakos Mesukun Klau. There, without the wood, the metal can't function. Vayetzu Mamida. Aval Hachamayri Shakaisu Kil Chasai. So the Shach learns this Machaber that the Kaishal Kesef is usable. It just happens to have some type of wooden adornment that gives it, I don't know, maybe to make it look good or something like that. So then you title it with a bracha. A she'en kein, if you have like a wooden knife, where without the wood, the knife wouldn't be functional. So there you title it without a bracha. That would seem to be what comes out from the Shach. The Taz seems to have learned the Mechaber that it doesn't have its own metal form by itself to be able to be usable by itself. So a challah knife with a wooden handle, I think you should tevel without a bracha, because the blade without the wood is not usable. It's a maimed; it gives it its use. What? We're going to have some Rechaim Shel Pilpulim. We'll have in a minute where the blades are metal, but the Rechaim itself is not, and it seems to be included in this. It's not, the wooden handle is not a chatzitza. Let me tell you about Dine Chatzitza. The question is how you tevel a keli that has many parts. Now, by a knife, usually the part is not usually disassembled. It usually stays together all the time, at least until it breaks. But the halacha of a keli that has many parts is the following. You have a choice. You could tevel it as you use it, and then there is no chatzitza. In other words, let's say you have a mixer, and there are pieces in the mixer which come off and come on. So you have a choice. Either you could tevel it with the pieces attached the way you use it, or if you take it apart, you have to take it apart totally. And that doesn't mean you have to get an umman to take it apart, but whatever is normally disassembled, you have to take apart. The Gemara actually has a case of tevelling a bed in the time of Tumah Tahara. So the Gemara says either tevel the whole bed as is, or if you take the headboard or the sideboards off, you have to disassemble it totally. So there's a tshuva the Har Tzvi and a tshuva the Michas Yitzchak. Har Tzvi is Yerodeh Kuf Ches, Michas Yitzchak is Gimel Simenai and Zayin, and they say that you have a choice. If you tevel it as you use it, like a wooden knife with a challah knife, you tevel it as you use it, the wood is not a chatzitza to the metal, because that's the way that it's normally used. So that's the general rule of Dine Chatzitza. In the Michas Yitzchak, he says it's preferable to take it apart, but you can tevel it put together. Now, there is a little bit of confusion about this psak. In the Sefer Tefilas Kelim, and it actually looks this way in the Michas Yitzchak, he has an extraordinary chumrah. He says that if you're tabling, let's say you have a blender that has different blades that could be attached. So he says, you put the blade on, you table it, And then the other little blades, each one you have to put on and tevel when it's on. And tevel it that way. When it's on the keli, because on the keli you have to tevel it as you use it. You have to tell us it's usable at least. So he has a chumrah. It doesn't seem, first of all, besides that, it's not mistaver. Ramosha de Grismosha says that has his case of a samavar. Listen to Ramosha's case. It's a chiddush in hilchos tefilas kelim, but it's a chiddush in hilchos mikvois as well. I'll explain. There's a halacha that beis hastorim doesn't need tefillah. A beis hastorim is, I shouldn't say it doesn't need tefillah. The water doesn't have to touch a beis hastorim. Let's say you go to the mikveh. You don't have to open your mouth in the mikveh. Now hold on, chatzitza apostles. So a beis hastorim has to be roy lebias mayim. But if you tevel, and it's normal to have your mouth closed, which is normal for some people, then you could tevel that way, and it's like your mouth was tevelled. You take a Keurig machine. The metal of the Keurig machine is the chamber in which it boils the water. That's metal. We took about three, and all three had metal, because we had read in one of the kashrus organizations that only the pin is the only metal. So I don't know, we took apart two, and my son was in the dorm, then took apart the one in the dorm. Baruch Hashem, they were able to put it back together again. But the chamber in which the water boils is metal, and at least in those three. And it needs to be tevled. They say, what does it help? You tevel a Keurig machine, the water doesn't touch the metal. The answer is that a beis hastorim needs to be tevled, but the water doesn't have to touch the beis hastorim. Now, Rav Moshe has the following chiddush about a plain old-fashioned samovar, a water urn, like the one we have here. He says, what's a water urn? A water is a pot. And under it, you have a heating element. Like, you go out and buy an electric burner, right? Electric burner. So all they do is they take the pot, and they solder it to the burner, they put a piece of metal around it, and really, all it is a pot on top of a burner. So Moshe says the burner doesn't have to be tevled. We learned already the things that don't touch the food don't have to be tevled. Only the pot on top has to be tevled. So Moshe was told that if you tevel a samovar, you ruin the electrical part.
Yes.
So which is not true. The old samovar certainly is not true, really. And so what he said was to fill it up with water, go to the mikveh. They say go to the mikveh, but get it into the mikveh, turn it upside down, and if it's not going to be full of water when you turn it upside down, the water air is going to be trapped inside. Right. So you fill it up with water, you put a cover or a board on it, turn it over in the water, remove the board, and lower the samovar till the keli part is in the water. In other words, you look at the water level, you make sure the whole pot part is in the water, and the burner part could be out of the water, and that doesn't matter. And you could do a tefillah that way on the pot, not on the burner. The base of the pot didn't get water. The base of the pot, which is soldered to the heating element section, didn't get water. That's the base of starter. As long as there's water all around it, it's considered that you tevel that as well. Now you have to fill the inside with water, because that's not a beis hastorim. The inside is exposed to the air.
You're putting into the water.
No, but what happens is you trap air in it. If you take a cup and turn it upside down into water, you're going to trap air. You're going to get tilted. And let some air out, there's no way. The only way to get all the air out is by turning it totally sideways, which would submerge the electric part. The water beforehand is, you leave it in when you put it in the mikveh, and then the mikveh water touches that, and that has a din of mikveh water. And it's filling up the inside. You follow? You take it, you fill it up with water, and you cover it, and you turn it upside down, and you put it into the mikveh, and then you pull away the cover. Now the mikveh water touches the water which is inside the samovar, and therefore you tevel it. It doesn't have to change. It's more than Shver Sanai. Thank you. And therefore it's good. So that's what Rav Moshe says. Now, first of all, it's a chiddush that you're looking at as two kelim. That's itself a chiddush. There's a second chiddush. What happens? A person has to tevel his mouth. When you go to the mikveh, your mouth has to be tevel. You're allowed to keep your mouth closed or your eyes closed. You're tevel, and since the water surrounds your body, it's included that it's tevel in your mouth, and that's good. That's not the it's not an issue. Does the water have to surround it on all six sides? I would understand, if not for Rav Moshe, that when do I say the Beis Hasdarim is tabled? When you have water below it, on the sides of it, and above it. I would think it has to be submerged totally in order to be considered getabled. Rav Moshe is saying, no, it doesn't have to be. As long as no chatzitza above it, it's perfectly okay. Because above it, the heating element part is protruding out of the water, and there's no water above it. Now, Nechz Yitzchak has a tshuva about Ramesh's tshuva, and he argues that that's not tefillah. Tefillah is when you're surrounded with water, and I don't think he brings a raya that's mechrachas. He disagrees with Ramesh on this point. Ramesh is not that way. Ramesh is as long as there's no chatzitza above it and it's below the water level, that that's good. You can't see it. The base, the bottom of the pot section. Where you take a pot and you solder it to a heating element. The bottom of the pot on the outside, what was formerly the outside of the pot, is now not exposed to the air. It's now soldered down. Yeah, if this was the pot and you soldered it down to the urn, so this part is now a Beis Hasdarim, and therefore yours. What? Is the bottom of my? It's not really a minded. The top is a good keli by itself. It seems it would. If you took it off, it probably would. Same thing. You travel a wooden knife, a wooden handle with a knife, and you got all the blade under the water and the wood stuck out, it would be the same thing. Ramesh apparently holds that that's fine. And Nechaz Yitzchak says, no, it has to be surrounded with water. Once someone in camp tiveled his oven, his little toaster oven, he tiveled the toaster oven. So he went to the lake and he tiveled it. So he held it by the cord and he lowered it in and he pulled it out. So he said, you don't have to tivel the cord. I said, sure, you don't have to tivel the cord. But according to Rav Moshe, what you did is fine. According to Nechaz Yitzchak, you still have a problem. Because the part of the keli that's touching the cord was not surrounded with water. And according to him, you would have an issue. Okay, Kedai Rav Moshe, listen, Chalav.
It worked afterwards?
Yeah. So if you dry it out and it works afterwards, I don't know. What? You have to wait till it dries. Yeah, you have to wait till it dries. So, Kwebisya, you have to surround it with water. The wide knife with a wooden blade has to be surrounded with water. But remember, the Mechitza Kholz has to be surrounded with water, the toaster oven. Now, the toaster oven is not surrounded because part of the cord is out. The cord is, let's say... Right, because the part of the toaster oven that's touching the cord is not surrounded by water. It's surrounded by cord, which goes out. Some toaster ovens, of course, come off, which would be fine. But the cheaper ones, the cord is permanent. And according to that, it would be you have to drop the whole cord in just to surround it with water.
Or maybe it's because
curly? Not sure why it should matter. I don't know. Yeah. The curly cords? Like a telephone cord that's. There's always a mashahu that keeps on going. There's always a little bit of the cord that comes out. But that cord is touching something, which is touching the keli. Okay. At any rate, So this is the Mechaber in Suf Zayin. So Nachabal, the Mechaber is saying the reverse. When the part that touches the food is metal, the part that doesn't touch is not metal, tzarech tvila. From the shaka comes out, if it could stand by itself, you do it with a bracha. If it can't, then you do it without a bracha. And again, the main nafkamino seems to be something like wooden knives, which would be that way. Now, what about challah boards? People ask me about the challah boards, which are really wood. And they have, now, some are plexiglass, are plastic. And some are glass on top. The way you can tell is you cut challah a few times, you get a scratch mark. The plexiglass scratches up very quickly, and the glass doesn't. Now, the glass needs tefillah. The glass, you cut the challah, a challah board needs tefillah. It's made to serve the challah. So it would seem that if it's glass, you have to tefillah the whole thing. This is a chatzitza, the place where it's connected to the wood. So that's the rule, that you can tefillah it as it's used completely, and that's fine. If you unscrew the glass, then yeah. You could do it either way. The halakha is you can do it either way. Either tablet the way it's used, or if you take it apart, you take it apart. Some of them have fancy silver in the middle of the wood, but that's not made to touch the food. But that certainly doesn't need tefillah. Because the Mechaber Shita is that if a keli which can't stand by itself, the Beis Yosef Shita, keli which can't stand by itself and needs wood to make it stand, does not require bracha. Look, the Beis Yosef is brought in the Shach Yud Gimel in the very beginning. See Shach Yud Gimel, Mashu Mitzarech Bracha. Avga de Beis Yosef Pasak, Bekoy Shal Kesef. Amemi de Shalait. Yeshu Tayv Loi Bloi Bracha. Remember years ago when you went to a candy store and you wanted some fountain soda, they had this teepee-shaped cup which went into a metal holder. Remember that?
Yeah.
Right? The teepee-shaped cup which went into a metal holder and you drank it. You drank from it. So that would be a case where the maimed is metal and the cup is paper. Not if you have to table the paper, but the cup, that's a case where you have one part that can't stand and one part that stands. But we have the same thing. They have bechers. They have metal bechers with plastic inserts. Ever saw that? They had it here a couple of times. It's a regular metal becher. I guess, I don't know why, but they have like a plastic that goes into it. You pour the wine into the plastic. It's for people who are too lazy to wash the becher, so you wash the plastic instead. Or you throw out the plastic, maybe it's disposable. But there you have the metal, which is the maimed, and the insert, which touches the food. Here, the shach says, if it's the reverse, if the insert is metal and the outside is wood, then the Beis Yosef says, if the inside can stand by itself, you do it with a bracha. If the inside piece, which is the metal, could not stand by itself, then you do it without a bracha. It's not a complete keli without the maimed. I said, with a wooden challah knife. If the handle comes off, you really can't cut with the knife. You need a handle in order to be able to press down without hurting yourself. So it would seem that the wooden handle, according to Beis Yosef, would make that you entitle it without a bracha. It's interesting. By a suffix deraisa, we don't make a bracha. It's true that there's a svara that once it's a safek d'oraisa, it's now your vadei chayiv. But a safek d'oraisa is not safek chayiv, it's vadei chayiv. So if it's vadei chayiv, you should have to make a bracha. And there's what to talk about on this topic. You seem to be serious the Mishnah Berurah on the topic. But the bottom line is that that we don't make a bracha, any safek brachas.
Even we, because there are
more. Right. The safek brachas will chayish shvev. I would think the challah knife you do without a bracha because the wood is the maimed. Without the wood, I don't think you could use it. I've had wooden handles that fell off, and the shach seems to pass like that. All right, let's see the Ramah on Siv Zayin. Some other examples: Rechayim shel pilpul and shel b'seicha eitz, yesh barzel kavua. This is like a challah knife, right? You have a wooden pepper mill. The pepper mill is made out of wood. But the stuff that grinds it, the actual grinding surface is made out of metal. Sarach tefillah. You have to table it. He doesn't say what to do about a bracha. And what? It touches the spices. The pepper, it touches the pepper. V'chein ha-mishpachay shal barzel, I believe that's a funnel. Oy ha-barzois shal barzel v'shar matchis. What are those? Faucets. I guess they go into wooden barrels. Tzrichet tefillah. These are examples. Now before you turn, we'll see there in a minute, Rabbi Kiva Eger brings a coffee mill. Chay rechaim shal pilper. Rechaim shal coffee. Lahataz, it says here Sivkot Dalet, it should be Sivkot Zayin. Tevlon b'loi bracha, kiven da ha-coffee boi bishul, because the coffee is not edible. We said, if you touch it when it's not edible, you tevlon without a bracha, la-shah Sivkot Yeralev, yeshloi me'ein tzorach tvila, do yechazi adavar acher. The shah said a shchita knife, you tevlon, because it's usable as a regular knife. So here, a coffee mill would be potter. Oh, so the Daki Tshuva taina is that. The Daki Tshuva brings those at taina. I would understand that pepper is food. It's edible. You don't eat it by itself, but the Daki Tshuva brings those that argue that even a pepper mill should be like a second shashchita, because it touches food that you can't eat by, at least by itself. And nafkamina is whether to make a bracha when you tiver a pepper mill. Yeah, I would think it should be that way, but the Daki Tshuva says it, and it sounds like Darach HaShulchan agrees with it, says the same thing. What? Yeah, that's right, we're talking about that. Now that could be different, because Lamaisa has two uses. It's a mill, but it's also a table pepper shaker. So if you hold a salt shaker that needs to be tabled, then the pepper shaker should be no different, because it's... if you hold that, it needs tefillah. Yeah, if you hold that tablet, it's called not right, then it doesn't need.
That's why the argument is not given on the chronic little bottles which have the
pepper mill. Because of what?
Because the
why would they give a hash and say title it?
Yeah.
So it comes full of pepper. It's disposable then. Why don't they have the disposable heter? You don't have a simach on the heter, that's disposable. It's made to be used and disposed of.
Alright?
That's chayslice. Chayslice is a disposable keli. So let's see. Until you use up all the pepper? There's so much pepper? Ramesha says disposable is not one use. As long as it's miskalkel v'haylech. I mean, here it's not really miskalkel, it's just that we're rich so we throw it out. I don't know. Okay. All right. Let's turn to finish the Ramah. Next page. V'dafka she'ikra keli u'shal matzis. When do you have to tevel a grinding tool? Because the ikra is metal. Avam ikra kli shalaitz. Racha ma'at barzel kavua bay. Hayu ve'efshel ishtamish bay b'loy barzel. Anything you can use without the metal part, so it has a metal decoration. Ein sarach tevila. It doesn't need tevila at all. Aval, this I mentioned last week about screws in a keli. Kliya mesukim b'yisedish ha-bazel. You have a wooden keli or a plastic keli, but it's held together with metal screws. U'b'lay yisedish la'yev shel ishtamish bay, and without the screws, you couldn't use it. V'heim b'fnim sarach tevila. And they touch the food, they need tevila. Ramah is like the mechaber. A maybet on the outside is pater. So if it has even one screw that touches the food, and without it would fall apart, it needs tefillah, presumably he means with a bracha.
this, the only tefillah that would be moel for this is if it's all together. It's taken apart. It doesn't have an identity when it's not connected to it being mamid the whole thing. Why would tefillah help if everything is taken apart when you only have a name of a mamid when it's together?
Yeah, I understand. What?
It's better to take apart together than everything.
I don't know if it's better, because in the eyes of halacha, if you tevel a complete keli, in the eyes of halacha, it's that way. But be that as it may, the question was how you could tevel taken apart. The Gemara says you can. So I don't know rules of tefillah. I guess when you mean to put it together, it's good. Now, if you need a ma'aseh umah to put it together, if you need a professor to put it together, then you don't have to tevel it at all. You just put it together, and that's it.
How do you know
there's no metal screw? I don't know. No, if the food doesn't touch, you still have to tevel according to the shach, not according to the test. I want to tell you the truth. It says in the Aruch HaShulchan that even though the shach and the Chochmas Adam say a wooden barrel with metal that holds it together needs tefillah, he says, Loi shamanu me'olam. We never heard anybody tevel it. Now, we also never heard of it because we don't have wooden barrels with metal rings. But he's talking to a society that had it. And the Aruch HaShulchan, it holds that if the ikur keli is wood or presumably plastic, that just because it has things that hold it together on the outside, he says he calls the midig not to tevel it. Why does midig matter? Because the mechaber shita is that doesn't need tefillah. Now we have the shach and chachmas adam that are mechayiv, so we're going to tevel. But when you're not sure if it has a screw that's ma'amid it, so you can certainly be samech on the mechaber who holds that that's okay. Okay, Sivches is a new sugya. Yeah, because the according to the shach, not according to Mechaber Ramah. So the shach said the rings of the barrel. Oh, okay. Okay, so it's a difference, but yeah, I think it's the same.
We mentioned the spot. What about
disposable items? Disposable items that are used in a way that they get ruined are potter from tefillah.
Why is there? Are there some that type of, or was it the type of aluminum cans? Disposable.
Look, just briefly. By aluminum kalim, the one question I discussed when we started is if aluminum has a din metal. But assuming it has a din metal, like Ramesh and Emzon, aluminum disposable kalim have two avenues of p'tur. Some tshuvas talk about that filas kalim is totally a kabbalas tuma, and disposable kalim are not makabal tumas kalim, and therefore it's potter. And that is a discussion, whether it's true that tefillah is tali and tumah, which I don't want to go into. Ramesh, in his tshuva about disposable kelim, talks about chayslois. Chayslois are disposable kelim that don't have a din kli. In the time of the Gemara, they didn't have disposable kelim like we had, but they had baskets that held dates. And dates ooze their date honey. And you couldn't use it twice. You took out the dates and then you threw it out. There was no way to wash it, or it didn't pay to wash it. That was a disposable kelim. Now, it's a Mishnah in kelim, probably, that says it doesn't have it in keli. Also in Hilchas Tumah, it doesn't have it in keli. Ramesh and Emzon, that to have a Shem keli, some of it's disposable, is not a kli, and has a din of chayslas. Now, I have a pet peeve about this, because I know of four nafgaminas in the din of chayslice in everyday life for all of us. One, the primary heter in opening cans on Shabbos or bottles on Shabbos is a tikkun on the keli. The main heter is the heter of chayslice. That's not a keli. Disposable things are not keli. So we open, most people, I think, open sardine cans or flip-top sodas. I don't think if they had a permanent keli in the house, a pot, that needed some metal removed to make the pot usable, I don't think they would do it on Shabbos. But with Seimach, on the heter of Chayslice, are not a keli. So therefore, it's a kula that there's no malachim. The second kula is tefilas kelim. If you hold chayslis are not kelim, then you do not have to tevil aluminum trays. Now that's assuming you're not reusing it. Ramesha writes, even if you use it two or three times, if it's miskalkel v'haylech, like people use it to bake challah. So the first time you bake challah, it's a new pan. The second time it's beat up a little. The third time it's more beat up, and finally they throw it out. So he says that's okay. Now, if you'd use an aluminum pan, a tall jelly beans, aluminum cup, Ramesha wouldn't hold that it's a patur. It's not miskalkel. But chayslice is something that's miskalkel v'haylech. So two kulas in chayslice. There are two chumras in chayslice. And Ramesh has a tshuva. He says not to use disposable cups for kiddush. Why not? What's wrong with a disposable cup? The answer is it's made to throw out. It's not a keli. A keli is marked by kiddush. The same thing for washing the tilas yadayim. To use a disposable cup for the tilas yadayim is an issue. Because it's disposable, it's not a keli. To do netilas yadayim, you have to have a kli. So it just bothers me the people who are eiches as akula b'shneiim from the two sides, akula b'sham, akula b'sil. When it comes to opening kelim and tevling, they rely on the heter. Then when it comes to kiddush or washing hands, they use disposables. It seems to be a stira, and this idea of using two cups instead of one obviously has no bearing, you know, there is one keli, one cup or two. Now there is an eitzah, the Bitzina Rav has a tshuva. He says there is an eitzah. You take a cup and you designate it for repeated use. If you're stuck and all you have is a plastic cup to wash with, so you take the plastic cup, you wash with it, and you put it away to use later. I'm very old fashioned in my house. I take a drink of water from the sink with a plastic cup. I feel funny for a little drink of water throwing out a cup. So I open the cabinet, I put a plastic cup in. It's there from Pesach to Pesach. And I get many uses from the cup. That cup you can wash with. It's available to be disposable, but I reuse it. If you reuse it, then you can make kiddush with it. So Deborah Sidorov actually writes at a simcha, everyone's washing. They have a plastic cup. They say, everyone use the same plastic cup. Put a plastic cup, and 30, 40 people are going to use it. That's a chayslice. That's being used many times. So that is an eitzah. Ramesha does write at the end of his tshuva on kiddush. He says not to use disposable cups. He says if you have no choice, there are no other cups, use it. Doesn't explain if he means because you have no choice, you can eat without kiddush anyway, so you might as well. Or if he means that there's the yesh amilisvayich and the ikar adin. So it's hard to know. But
like if you're on an airplane and you don't have a regular keli there, to use a plastic
cup. One of the things that should be on every person's carry-on is a cup. Is a solid cup. I have a little mug. Sometimes I forget. I buy it in the airport. I buy. I have a few mugs that says, I love New York.
$40,
yeah. So somebody in Shul bought, they sell the makers of Easy, of Shabbos clock and all, they have a collapsible plastic cup. So it's just fine, you know. It's not disposable. It takes up about the same room as a 4 or 5 ounce mug. And then Negelwasser in the morning, people sleep all night. They go to put on towels and tefillin. You have to wash Negelwasser. So see, now you can wash in the bathroom Negelwasser. When you leave the bathroom, you have to. Yeah, in the airplane.
In the world of Kozlos, where does the yogurt cup with the seal that comes off that you shouldn't...
All right, see, that's why I don't want to start this topic. I just want to tell you, Ramesha was machmir on opening all kelim. And I personally, we're machmir, we don't open any kelim, except when you get a fruit or a candy tray with cellophane. To cut that cellophane is a brisa that it's mutter. The explanation, there are like four explanations, but that itself, to cut cellophane, it says, or a leather covering, that's mutter. But it's opening kelim, so in my house we're machmir. Ramesh in his tshuva says that mikra adin is mutter. It's chayslice, you're allowed to open a mikra adin, but afal pikein, he says that it's not covered Shabbos, it's dum yola malacha. Ramesh is very machmir. He says, if you have a sheva brachis, and it'll be embarrassing, then you could do it ayidei gai, as he writes in the tshuva. So Rav Moshe himself was very machmir, and most of the velt is meikel, and both many paiskim are meikel, and in practice most people are meikel. I have enough guests at my table that I just have to put the soda bottle on the table. It's my job to prepare for Shabbos is to open the containers. If I forget, there's always someone handy to open it. But Rav Moshe held that's all true about all disposables, except it's an important exception. Niyarais hadvukais, paper that's glued together. Ripping it at the place where it's glued is koreya, is a melacha deraisa of koreya. And there is no heter of chayslais. Chayslais is in the melacha of tikkun kli, you say it's not a keli. But paper that's glued together, separating paper that's glued together, that Rav Moshe holds is a melacha deraisa. The old-fashioned orange juice containers, where you form the spout by ripping it, where it's glued together, that's a paper. That's a problem. According to Rav Moshe, it's a deraisa. According to another example, many potato chip bags, where you open it on the top, where it's glued together. Well, some of them are just heat-sealed, and some of them are glued. The ones that are glued are, you can tell, the heat-sealed ones peel cleanly. And the glued ones rip as you separate them. So it's important to know that they're not all the same. The same thing, if you have a yogurt cup and you want to peel the lid off the yogurt cup where it's glued all around, it's a problem. Or a ketchup container. The ketchup container, when you take off the cap and it's got its plastic, that's glued. The niyar is glued to the keli. That seems to be correct. Now what you could do is take a knife, make an X. That's what we do. We take a knife, make an X, put the cap on. It works perfectly well. But otherwise, Niyareis Hadvukais has its separate chumra. Cereal box, yeah, you should cut the side. Or a matzah box, if we're stuck, and someone has to use it, we take a knife and you cut the side, not where it's glued. Now, I have to tell you, Rabbi Yaakov argued with Rav Moshe about this. Rabbi Yaakov held it was a different heter. It's a Magen Avraham that says things that are glued with the intent non-permanently, there's no issue of Niyareis Hadvukais. Now it's a little of a stretch. The Magen Avraham is talking about the printers when they glue things together to set them up for printing, and then you get it, you have to separate the glue and the pages. There it's really glued together just for a moment. Here it's glued together, the yogurt is glued together, then while they ship it till you sell it, till you take it home. Rabbi Yaakov was Mekel. But Leisik Nosai, when he started forgetting, he said he doesn't want to be Seimachan himself against Rav Moshe. I mean, after being Seimachan for 50 years. But Leisik Nosai, the guy from Camp Rosh Raga, told me he told people to stop being Mekel. And he was Machmir. But that's a digression. What? So Rabbi Kiveger on Ein Gimel Beis has his clair, if Korei Amenos Litvar, if you need Amenos Litvar, or just Afuki Mekalkel. That's Rabbi Kiveger's clair and Achinami should be telling you that. Yeah, Korea, it's true, the Chayodam and the Shulchan Aruch Harav's, Korea is only two things that were glued together. If you rip a paper where it was never two things that were glued together, then that's okay. It's only... Well... Yeah, but the place is glued together, two surfaces glued together. No, he means, or he's saying leather, why are you allowed to cut leather? You cut leather, it's also Korea, Teretz Israel. It was never two things that were put together. That's a silly. About the Gabi Tvila?
Yeah.
No. But Korel is a Kaylee, he's not Shiloh. The material, the Gabi Tvila.
So there's book
is any
kind of
material
that's just paper?
You know, I don't know. You want to start fighting Chalukah? Maybe there are, but certainly paper to the wall, it would be the RSS. Yeah. Where? But that's the Gabi Misak and Kli. But the Gabi Dimloch of Korea has nothing to do with the Kaili. Who are you quoting? No, he's talking about Chai, he's talking about Tikkun Kli, he's not talking about Kareya. He's not talking about, it's not true. You look, on Chai, on that din, later in Shin Mem, by Dine Kareya, there's a Bir Alocha. And he says, well, what happened to Kareya? No, there we're talking about Tikkun Kli, what happened to Kareya? So he brings a Teretz. Mishabura has a Teretz that there's no Issa Kareya unless you need both surfaces, not if you need one without the other. All right, I want to tell you about Sifches. Sifches is a very important Sif because we're finished with types of Kalim. Sifches has to do with the status of the Kali. So I'd like to just learn the Hanocha, the Mechaber, and introduce the topic that comes up, and we'll deal with it next week. Sifches, Hashoyol, Oisecha Kli Mi'evik, Kechavim Einei Taran Tefillah. If you borrow or even rent a keli from a guy, you don't have to tithe. Certainly, if you go to your guyish neighbor, he gives you a glass of water, so you could use it. If you go to Havla, if you go to a Friday yid, he gives you a glass of water, you can't drink from it. You're asking for a disposable cup. But if you go to a non-Jewish person, he gives you a glass of water, it doesn't need tefillah. Avol misrael kanim yevikachavim. Now here is the case: Yid Aleph purchased it. Vishilo lechaveiroi, and he lent it to Shimon. Taunt vila shikvayin deschayi biadrishin. That's chayr pashim. Yesh mishayim. Im loy lochay harishin letzera suda. If I buy something not for food purpose, elalachtech klofim. I'm a cipher. I buy a knife with which I'm going to cut parchment. Kiyaitzabai. Aim tsarach latvilai. Even if I lend it to someone else, I don't have to title it because I'm buying it not as a food keli. And what we're saying is that the owner designates the keli. If the owner designates the keli as a non-food keli, then that's adequate in order to make it good. So if the person borrows it from him, just like if you borrow from a guy, you don't have to title. If you borrow from someone who uses it to cut klafim, you don't have to title. Now, this is not a very common case, but Taz Yud is what makes waves. Taz Yud says, Kasim Beisiyasif, who adin im kanei l'schayra? Who adin if you buy it for schayra purposes? Now, what this means is if I have a hardware store and I buy glasses or knives, to schayra means to sell. I buy it to sell. It's pata from tefillah when I have it. Of course. Yeah. It's not a chiddush. I'm not using it. But now, if I lend it to a yid to use, according to the mechaber, it's pata, the way the Taz explains Beis Yosef, it's pata. It's pata from tefillah. Because the owner, by the owner, it's klei schayra. Now, the first place that this makes an issue is there are stores, Jewish neighborhoods, that pre-tivel the kelim. It comes Erev Yantim, it's very busy. They have a mikveh in the back, but it gets hectic. So what they do is when they unpack the kelim, they have someone tivel it. And on the shelf, it says, these kelim are already tiveled. So that tefillah is not good, according to the Mechaber, according to the Beis Yosef. Because klei schayra, or kelim that you buy, lachtech klofim, are potter from tefillah. They have no chi of tefillah, even if you lend it to someone, until you purchase it. What that means is if you go into a hardware store, you buy a knife, you should not go to the back and table the knife until you pay for it. Once you pay for it, as long as it's still the store owner's knife, when you table it, it's potter from tefillah. Once you buy it, it's a food keli. Until you buy it, now I would argue it's always a food keli. It's made for food. The Taz says no. They say it says what in l'schayra. If you buy eight sarat tefillah, so have your tefillah, you're not yotze tefillah. You can't be tefilling something before the chiyuv.
So that's what it's.
It's a tshuva in the Michas Yitzchak who's mazir people on this, and I think it's pretty much accepted. Yeah, the yid makes a keli and he sells it to a guy to sell. So there was upstairs on the bulletin board, there's a warning that when people buy the pre-tivled urns, they have the urns that say Ein Tzarich Tevila. Why Ein Tzarich Tevila? A yid is kind of the metal prior to it being made into a keli. That was a picture in the paper of the Belzadai in a forklift truck doing hagbah on the metal for the keli. So I doubt he goes there every time. He has mishkiach, and they do hagbah. They kind of with hagbah, and then the keli gets made. So it's a Jew's keli. It doesn't need tefillah. So we have upstairs in the bulletin board a warning that that's only true if you buy it in a Jewish store. If they sell it to Goyim, now if you give it on consignment, it wouldn't be the same. But if they sell it to a Goyish store, and the guy sells it, even though the box still says Ein Tzarich Tevila, but once they sell it to a guy and you're buying it from a guy, then it needs tefila. Then it wouldn't need tefila. Because what's any Keli Shel guy that you buy is a Keli that needs that would need tefila. Now, even the guy who manufactures it is only manufacturing it l'schayra, it seems that that the halacha would be the same. All right, next week we're going to deal with Sifches, more of you.